A parenting specialist once remarked, "The best thing a dad can do for his children is to love their mother." In other words, a good marriage often will lead to great parenting. Coming up, marital conflict, fighting fair in front of the children. Welcome to the Voice of Prophecy. This is Lonnie Melashenko. Join us today as we search for ways to make this a better world and prepare for the world to come.
Hello, friend. This is HMS Richard Jr. All this week, Lonnie Melashenko has been sharing a brand new radio series entitled Fighting the Parenting Home Wars. But today he shifts gears just the tiniest little bit and focuses our attention on marital conflict and how our squabbles and fights with our mate do affect our children. All that coming up in just a moment, but first let me remind you that Friday is always the last chance to receive the free gift books we share. And today's is an exceptional prize. It's entitled, How You Can Become a Better Parent by Dr. Ann Woods Bell. This booklet contains so much helpful material on discipline, communication, how to lead your child through the various levels of emotional growth, and much, much more. So jot down this toll-free number. Let us send you a gift copy of this book. Here's the number, 1-800-872-0055. Again, 1-800-872-0055. Now let's join Lonnie for today's message, Fighting Fair in Front of the Children.
Have you ever started a conversation only to feel that it has escalated out of your control? Have you ever begun innocently and then found yourself embroiled in something so full of emotion that all sense of reason is gone? Have you ever fought with your spouse in front of your children and then when it was all over, faced that sinking feeling that the children took in every unkind word, felt every stabbing remark? Say, how do two grown adults work out their differences when little eyes and ears are absorbing every aspect of the drama? Is it better to withdraw in silence than to exchange words while the children are listening? Well, most psychiatrists agree that fighting in a marriage can be a sign of a healthy relationship. That's right, provided it's done in the right way. Dr. Alfred Messer says, and I quote, "A spirited spat is good for most marriages." He goes on to explain that marriages without any fighting at all are often inflexible marriages, with one partner making all of the compromises to keep the peace, and that's not appropriate. As children observe their parents working together to reach an understanding, they learn valuable lessons about getting along in life. On the other hand, if mom and dad clam up every time a sticky issue is raised, Bob and Susie learn that it's better to put up a wall than to build a bridge. And that's not good. So how do you face an issue in marriage that is potentially dangerous? How do you model the appropriate way of handling conflict in front of the children? How do you do what the Bible says, be angry and sin not? The wise man said, do not let the sun go down upon your wrath. Well, how do you do that? Well, get out a pencil and paper. Here's 10 tips to remember the next time you feel angry at your spouse for borrowing your car and parking in the driveway with a gas gauge on empty. Jot these down. First, try to speak with I messages rather than you messages. Communication experts agree that it is better to express problems in terms of your own feelings than to accuse your mate. In other words, don't say, why do you always have to leave me with a car that's out of gas? You know I'm always in a rush to get out of here. You don't even care. No, instead, express your feelings with I messages, such as, I'm really annoyed right now because my car is on empty. I have very little time in the morning, and when I have to stop for gas, I end up being late for work. In this way, you're able to get your feelings out without putting your spouse on the defensive. Secondly, and I'll agree this is a tough one when you're angry, but always show respect for your partner in any discussion you might have. Now, people don't have to agree always, but there is a right and a wrong way to let another person know that you see something differently. So don't stoop to name-calling, put-downs, yelling, or interruptions. That only drags out the argument and hurts your spouse and gives your children a poor model for working through their own problems. Third, Don't allow the children to jump into the middle of the argument. Mm-mm. Make clear that the discussion is between Mom and Dad. If little Susie wants to take sides, politely tell her this is inappropriate. You see, it's easy to yield to a child when she appears to be on your side, but this will only result in the child playing one parent against the other. And when this happens, uh-oh, the whole family loses. Fourth, choose your battles. You know, some issues simply are not worth pursuing. If you jump on your spouse for every minor infraction, you may find yourself playing a nitpicking game that saps energy and gets nowhere. So your spouse left the front door open during the heating season. Close it and forget it. The day will come when there's something important to discuss. If every day you see is filled with battles, the important things will lose significance. Fifth, attack the problem, not each other. This is so important. If your spouse brings up an issue that he or she feels is important, avoid lashing out in anger. Take the time to listen, explore different solutions, brainstorm together until you come up with some creative ideas for approaching the problem. But the important thing is to direct your energy toward constructive problem solving, not the destructive act of tearing down your spouse. Sixth, stay on the subject. Now, once a problem is aired, it's so easy to get sidetracked. It's amazing how a conversation that starts with a pair of dirty socks on the floor can turn into a yelling match about in-laws and family habits and customs. Remember, the goal is to search for solutions. You can't do that when you have strayed so far from the topic that you can't even remember what it is. Seventh, avoid generalities and extreme statements. You always forget to put the dog out. You never want to come with me to visit my parents. You see, these kinds of statements lead right into an argument. The only thing that it takes to shoot down a generality is one exception, and your spouse is bound to come up with one. What do you mean I always forget to put the dog out? I put her out yesterday, didn't I? Or did you forget? How can you say I never want to come with you to visit your parents? We were just there 2 weeks ago. Stick with the specific incident that you have a problem with. Don't let your annoyance swell to something bigger than what has actually happened. Talk about the concrete, the here and now. I don't like driving the 2 hours to my parents' home alone. I know you have a lot to do this Sunday, but I'm concerned about Mom, and I'd really appreciate it if you'd drive out with me. Eighth, if you're having trouble connecting with your spouse, try rephrasing what your partner has said before expressing your own feelings. In other words, do a perception check. I think I heard you say this. Now, this is a common tool often used in marriage enrichment seminars. It may sound a bit artificial at first, but it really works. Don't assume that you have your partner all figured out after 20 years of marriage. You see, you just can't second-guess a person's motives and feelings without risking misunderstanding. So, when your spouse expresses a feeling, listen carefully and then say something like this. I think I heard you say that it really bothers you whenever you're under a lot of pressure in the morning. You don't like to start your day feeling rushed and already behind before you've even gotten to the office. And then wait. Let your spouse confirm whether you've gotten that message straight. Continue in this way, summarizing your partner's messages to be sure that you understand the exact message being conveyed. Ninth, and here's an interesting one. Friend, don't feel that every discussion has to end in mutual agreement. You heard it right. There might be some subjects on which you will never see eye to eye, but agree to disagree. And it's okay to have a discussion and conclude by saying, you know, I really don't feel the way that you do on this right now, but I can respect you for your opinion. Let's continue to give this more thought. Maybe we can talk about it again in a few weeks. Now, another option when you realize that you just can't agree is to compromise with trade-offs. You might say something like this. I realize that you feel I don't spend enough time with the children, and perhaps I don't, but I just can't make it to the circus this weekend. But how about that we all go to the beach for a whole day next week? Finally, number 10, and friend, this is so important. After the conflict, reestablish touch. You see, your little child sneaking a peek from around the corner? Oh, it's so reassuring for them to see Mom and Dad once again touch hands or slip their arms around one another's waists. A hug says, we've worked this out. There's no loss of affection just because we didn't initially agree on something. Everything's okay here. Handling conflict in marriage. Fighting fair in front of the kids. It's all part of the big picture that makes up effective parenting. So your spouse left the car in the driveway on empty. Don't seethe in silence. Don't borrow his car and return it to the driveway on nothing more than fumes. By handling your anger correctly, you can teach your children priceless lessons in conflict resolution. Little pitchers have big ears, but that's okay. Little pitchers just may learn something that will help them become big pitchers that pour out honesty and shine with confidence and respect.
That's certainly our goal, isn't it, parents? Well, thank you, Lonnie, for that good message. We also want to thank guest writer Sandra Finley Doran, who wrote the radio scripts for this series. She's a beautiful Christian friend sharing her gifts all the way from Attleboro, Massachusetts. Thanks to her and to Armando Cordero, our studio engineer, and David Smith, our producer. Friend, we're down to the final opportunity for you to request a free copy of our booklet, How You Can Become a Better Parent by Dr. Ann Woods Bell. Here's our mailing address. Be sure and write for it today. The Voice of Prophecy, Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. That's Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. In your letter, just ask for how you can become a better parent. Our Canadian address is Box 2127, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7V4. Again, Box 2127, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7V4. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-800-872-0055. That's true. A toll-free number, 1-800-872-0055. And friend, when you call us or write us, please remember to include the callers of this station. This is a free gift available to all of our listeners, but of course any of you who can share a special gift to the Voice of Prophecy to help cover expenses, well, we've been relying on your help for 67 years and appreciate you today more than ever before. Next week, Lonnie and I will be both back with you, and Lonnie will introduce a brand new series entitled Home Runs and Heavenly Dreams. The start of a new major league season here in April. Are there spiritual lessons we can learn from a game like baseball? For 5 days next week, Lonnie will open his Bible and help us discover some of the great eternal truths to be found even from this unlikely source. Be sure and listen, folks. Be sure and join us and invite your friends to listen, too. We want to encourage you to have a good weekend in the Lord. Attend church this weekend and receive the blessings God has for you. This is HMS Richards, Jr., reminding you, folks, it's always true. Yes, God loves you.
It was almost midnight on a Saturday night. I was wandering the back streets of Alexandria, Egypt, when I came across an ancient church filled with people. Up front, priests in elaborate robes were waving censers and chanting. I couldn't understand a word. Still, I watched. After a long time, the chief priest stepped back through a curtained doorway at the rear of the platform. Almost at once, all the lights in the place went out, and it fell quiet. The silence hung heavy in the room, the blackness relieved only by the faint glow of a few candles. Then suddenly the lights came back on. The old high priest leaped through the curtains back out onto the stage, and the ancient church erupted in thunderous applause. Exuberant joy swept through the crowd, and all at once I understood. It was Easter. They were celebrating the resurrection of Christ. For over 1,500 years, Coptic Christians in this Muslim land have endured oppression, buoyed by their confidence that Christ is risen. In spite of persecution, they've lived in hope and joy. Are you battered by hardship? Do you feel overwhelmed? Keep alive your confidence. Christ is risen. God rules. Be glad. For the Voice of Prophecy and the Seventh-day Adventist Church, this is John McLarty.